the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, December the 26th, 2017. I'm Mike Clifford. On our nationwide rundown, we'll let you know which state plans to cut thousands from Medicaid. Indications are the politics of resentment are alive and well in the U.S., and plans are already underway for a gift to Mother Earth in 2018. First, our top story, escalating California showdown with the Trump administration over illegal immigration. The Sacramento Bee reports Governor Jerry Brown used a Christmas holiday tradition to grant pardons Saturday to two men who are on the verge of being deported for committing crimes while in the U.S. Brown characterized the pardons of the two Cambodian men who had lived and worked in California as acts of mercy. The Bee notes the pardoned immigrants who are set to be deported Monday still need to ask immigration courts to reopen their cases. And in Arkansas, health officials are proposing significant cuts to the state's Medicaid program by rolling back the income requirements for eligibility. But as Mark Richardson reports, some experts say that's against the rules.
The state currently is awaiting an answer from the Federal Health and Human Services Administration on its request to drop the qualifying income level down to the poverty line. That would mean as many as 60,000 current enrollees could lose coverage. Jessica Schubel, an analyst with the progressive think tank Center for Budget Policies and Priorities, says that's not the way Medicaid is supposed to work.
What the state is proposing to do is not permissible under Medicaid waiver authority. They're effectively taking coverage away from people, and the whole purpose of Medicaid is to provide coverage to low-income people.
Under the Affordable Care Act, Arkansas expanded its program with a private option where most participants are covered by market-based insurance, with Medicaid picking up the tab. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says the cuts are needed to contain costs and eliminate waste.
Protesters in Ohio would no longer be able to hide their faces if a state house bill becomes law. Mary Sherman explains.
The legislation would make it a crime to wear a mask with the intent of obstructing the law, the rights of others, or a person's legal duty. Butler County Sheriff Doug Jones explains he approached State Representative Bill Seitz about his concerns in the wake of the clashes in Charlottesville, Virginia this summer.
I believe that it's not good when people throw rocks and they assault people and you can't film or take pictures of who they are. So I asked, could we get some legislation introduced that would at least start with the mask?
Seitz co-sponsored the bill with Representative George Lang. Lee Thompson of Cleveland with Refuse Fascism, a movement opposing the Trump presidency, is among those who view the bill as a tool against left-leaning activist groups.
This is just one of many of these kinds of laws that are either being proposed or being passed that specifically are targeting people protesting.
If the bill becomes law, Ohio would join the ranks of states with broader anti-mask laws. This story was produced with original reporting from Cameron Gorman at Kent State University.
And simply put, Tim Morrissey reports rural Americans feel government doesn't work for them and that they're constantly holding the short end of the stick when it comes to power and respect.
So says Kathy Kramer, author of the book Politics of Resentment. This resentment has been a tangible factor in elections as recent as the Alabama U.S. Senate race, where an accused child molester was narrowly defeated. Kramer says her research shows many rural Americans resent the people who presently hold the power.
They're also saying that they resent the Democratic Party a lot of times and feeling as though they're condescended to by the Democratic Party. They're also talking about racial and ethnic minorities. There's an element of racism here that we need to pay careful attention to.
Kramer says the politics of resentment played a huge role in the election of Donald Trump and will likely continue to factor into the political calculus.
A media analyst says journalists failed to cover one of the biggest stories of 2017, the growing effects from climate change. More from Eric Teganoff.
This year, the media seemed to follow President Donald Trump's every move in the White House with bated breath. But did that leave other big stories uncovered? Lisa Hyamis with Media Matters, a progressive media watchdog group, says it did, and that climate change is the most important story of 2017 the media failed to cover. She says that's despite the fact that the United States saw an extraordinary number of devastating weather events this year.
And they're just the sort of thing that climate scientists have been telling us that we will see. And some media outlets are telling people that, but too many of them are not. They're not connecting the dots between extreme weather like hurricanes and wildfires and floods to climate science.
Hyamis cites research that shows during 2 weeks of hurricane coverage on eight major networks, 60% of stories included the word Trump, and only 5% mentioned climate change.
And finally, Stephanie Carson notes it's hard to think green in the mix of all the red and green this holiday, but that's exactly what dozens of North Carolina companies are already doing.
Earth Day is 4 months away, and businesses are planning their community service projects with the help of an innovative program from EarthShare NC. The organizations help match businesses with nonprofits in need, and the planning begins well before April 22nd. Executive Director Heather Beard says the participation plants a seed in some volunteers.
80% of the employees that participated had never even heard of the nonprofit before, and so they're being introduced to something that's going on in their community and getting that firsthand opportunity to experience it.
In addition to environmental groups, companies like Accenture and Hewlett-Packard plan to participate, along with cities including Durham, Raleigh, and Chapel Hill. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.